Before introducing Dr. Robinson and the Psychiana program, I'd like to relate a little experience which I had the other day. I was having luncheon with a friend of mine, a chap who was a rather consistent churchgoer. He said, "I was listening to the radio and heard the Dr. Robinson program. To begin with, I confess I listened simply because I heard your voice. Finally, Dr. Robinson himself came on. What he said startled me at first, but he presented his facts so clearly, so sanely, so intelligently that now, well, I don't know. Anyhow, I've sent for his outline of Psychiana, and I'm going to read it thoroughly. Maybe I won't agree with him entirely, maybe I will. But I'll admit this much, he must have something." So I've been thinking about what my friend said. Any man who has evolved a philosophy which in the short space of a few years has swept around the world, whose message has been received so favorably that there is scarcely an auditorium large enough to accommodate the people flocking to hear him, must have something, must be worth listening to. And I'm sure you agree with me. I'm sure you're waiting right now to follow our guide to Dr. Robinson's home.
Once again, we are in Dr. Robinson's study in Moscow, Idaho. It is a pleasant, comfortable room, this study. And as we lean back in our chairs, Dr. Robinson, at the console of a magnificent pipe organ, plays for us. Softly at first, and then as he becomes wrapped in the mood of the music, the strain swells. I think, Dr. Robinson, that calls for an encore.
Well, perhaps, but not just yet. If I remember correctly, the last time we met, you had a question to ask, and I put you off because our time was short. Suppose we have that question right now, if you haven't forgotten it.
Oh, I haven't forgotten it. It's simply this. In view of the fact that so many hundreds of thousands believe the story of Jesus Christ, don't you think it would be kinder to them not to expose it?
My answer to that question is most emphatically no. For truth can never be known through falsehood. And I care not how many millions of people believe a certain story. If that story is not true, no lasting good can ever come from it. And the sooner the story is exposed or destroyed, the better it will be for us all. If people's religious feelings are hurt because they have a false belief, then that is just too bad. But there are millions of people in this United States of ours who have no religious belief of any kind, and it is to those millions that my message is directed. I am not interested in taking any member from any church, because I realize the foolishness of an attempt like that. It just couldn't be done, and I have neither the time nor the inclination to try to do it. So I direct my message to the millions who have no religious belief, or who are not satisfied with the one they have.
I think that is a very laudable and sensible attitude to take, and certainly proves that you are not trying to upset anyone's religious beliefs.
I certainly am not. The different church organizations come to the man on the street who has no religious belief, and they present to him a story which they claim is the true story of God. Now, the man on the street did not ask that organization to come to him, yet they come, and they insist that he believe that story. Now, I am doing the same thing, and I have the same right to do it. But I do not insist that people believe me. They can prove my philosophy. I come to these millions of people who have no religious belief of any kind, and I offer them one. Now, it so happens that the religious philosophy I offer them is fundamentally different from the one offered by the religious organizations, yet I have the same right to offer it.
In a few words, Dr. Robinson, just what is this difference?
The God taught by the churches, manifested only through one man whose life was lived in a mass of miracles and miraculous happenings and all that sort of thing. But the God I preach manifests his power, his presence, and his love to all alike, regardless of whether they believe any man-made church tradition or not. The history of the other teachings discloses a horrible stream of blood behind it. Hundreds of thousands of people have been brutally murdered for their religious beliefs. Men have been torn limb from limb. They have been burned at the stake, and eyes have been gouged out, all in the name of the God of the Christian Church. But nothing like that can happen with my definition of God. For to me, God is an operating spiritual law which created this universe in the first place and which, moment by moment, sustains it by spiritual law, which in the final analysis is but natural law.
And you differ with the story of these miracles?
I certainly do. The great God of the universe did not cause the sun to stand still in order that a bloody slaughter of his enemies might be made more complete. He did not strike 50,000 men, women, and children dead for attempting to look into a little box called the Ark in which he lived. No, no. That story is pagan and heathen superstition, and it had its origin in a pagan land which gave to the world every story of a supernaturally revealed religion it has ever known.
But we were originally speaking of the New Testament, the story of Jesus Christ. How do you differ with that story?
It is claimed by the disciples of Jesus Christ that he was of supernatural and divine origin, that he had a human being for a mother and a God for his father, that although he was woman conceived, he was deity begotten and molded in the human form, but comprehending, in essence, a full measure of the infinite Godhead, thus making him half human and half divine in his sublunary origin. It is claimed that he was full and perfect God and perfect man, and while he was God, he was also the Son of God, and as such was sent down by his Father to save a fallen and guilty world. And that time, his mission pertained to the whole human race, and his inspired seers are made to declare that ultimately every nation, tongue, kindred, and people under heaven will acknowledge allegiance to his government and concede his right to reign and rule the world. They tell us that every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
And that has never happened.
No, nor is it likely to be fulfilled. We do not observe that this claim to the infinite deityship of Jesus Christ has been, or is likely to be, universally conceded. On the contrary, it is found that by a portion, and a large portion, of the people of even those nations now called Christian, this claim has been steadily and unswervingly controverted through the whole line of history, stretching through the nearly 2,000 years which have elapsed since his advent to earth. Even some of those who are represented to have been personally acquainted with him. Aye, some of his own brethren in the flesh, children in the same household, children of the same mother, had the temerity to question the tenableness of his claim to a divine emanation. And when we extend our searches to other countries, we find this claim, so far from being conceded, is denied and contested by whole nations upon other grounds. It is met and confronted by rival claims.
Well, what other grounds do you mean, Doctor?
I mean that hundreds of millions of established believers in divine revelation, hundreds of millions of believers in the divine character and origin of religion, reject the pretensions set up for Jesus Christ. They admit a Messiah, but not the Messiah. These nations contend that the title is misplaced, which makes the man Christ Jesus the Savior of the world. They claim to have been honored with the birth of the true Savior among them, and they defend this claim upon the ground of priority of date. They aver that the advent of their Messiah was long prior to that of the Christians, and that this circumstance adjudicates for them a superiority of claim as to having had the true Messiah born upon their soil.
In other words, they claim a Messiah of their own, born long before the time of the Christian Messiah.
That is it exactly.
Then there is more than one claim of this kind.
More than 20 claims of this kind. Claims of being invested with divine honor, that is deified, have come forward and presented themselves at the bar of the world with their credentials to contest the verdict of Christendom in having proclaimed Jesus Christ the only Son and sent of God. 20 messiahs, saviors, and sons of God, according to history or tradition, have in past times descended from heaven and taken upon themselves the form of men, clothing themselves with human flesh and furnishing incontestable evidence of a divine origin by various miracles, marvelous works, and superlative virtue. And finally, these 20 Jesus Christs, accepting their character for the name, laid the foundation for the salvation of the world and ascended back to heaven. So you see, there's nothing new in the story of the Messiah of Christianity, nor has it any more logical arguments to support it than any of the 20 other similar stories.
Well, Doctor, you certainly have the knack of making things clear. And now I'd like to ask something else.
Another question?
No, for the encore you promised us a while ago.
Yes, I believe I did promise an encore, didn't I? Have you any particular selection?
Yes, I'd like to hear Smiling Through.
All right, you shall have it.
Would you like to know more about that principle, that God law, which Dr. Robinson spoke of? Would you like to learn how to apply it to your own life? Then send for a complete outline of Psycheana, the outline of Dr. Robinson's philosophy. There is no charge for this, nor will you be obligated in any way. Simply write a letter or postcard saying, "Send me a free copy of the outline of your philosophy." And address your letter to Dr. Frank Robinson, care of the radio station to which you are listening, or to Moscow, Idaho. If you write to Moscow, Idaho, include in the address the words Radio Department. We return you now to your local announcer, who will give you the time and date of Dr. Robinson's next broadcast.